KSL at night. KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm Mara Carabello here tonight with Greg Skordis. And Greg, we have conference weekend coming up. And one of the bonuses of listening on KSL to conference weekend is that there are special reports where we can go in depth on interesting topic, interesting people. And we are lucky today to have Debbie Dujanovic, who is the host of Dave and Dujanovic in the morning on KSL, and she has a really interesting story about Kyler Effinger, and he had bipolar disorder. And if those of us who can remember just the headline of it, he is the young man that was at the airport a few months ago. And Debbie's with us here today. Debbie, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Mara. This is such a difficult story.
Oh, it's got to be.
It's so hard. And if you've ever had a family member with bipolar disorder or a friend who's trying to cope with it, Kyler's story will resonate. And how we mostly know Kyler's story is through that big headline you referred to, Mara, on New Year's Day. And New Year's Day is a new year, 2024. Of course, a lot of us were celebrating, ringing in the new year. That was the final day of Kyler Effinger's life. He's a Park City resident, grew up skiing in the area. You know, he played soccer. He went to high school. He did all the things that, you know, Utahns love Utah for. And his family said, college, they really started to notice some big mental health issues with him. And they walk, his dad, Judd, walks Dave Noriega, my co-host, and I through Kyler's story from the beginning. And I really wanted his dad, Judd, to start from the beginning. And that's why we can spend an hour Saturday at noon talking to dad about it, because I think it's so important that we share these stories of mental health and hope and crises. And Kyler is unfortunately an example of what so many Utahns and Americans go through. So his story, while his journey ends at the airport, his story really begins back in high school.
Debbie, you were kind enough to give us a soundbite from Dad. I'd like to play that, and then I'd like to ask you about your conversation with him and his reaction, especially since this occurred.
So let me just set this up. Yes, it's Judd Effinger. We spoke to him for 45 minutes about Kyler's story. And like I said, you know, there's this horrible situation at the airport. And Kyler is going to see his grandpa, who's in Colorado, and grandpa is on his deathbed. And what his dad said is actually death and learning of death and dealing with death was one of Kyler's trigger. And those who deal with bipolar disorder know somebody who does. Know it can often be triggers. So he panics, and it's just after Christmas, and Kyler makes a decision that he's got to go see grandpa. And he calls up his dad, who's in Idaho, and Kyler's here in Utah, and says, I got to go see grandpa. I'm going to take the 8-hour drive to Colorado to go say my final goodbyes. And his dad, Judd, says, oh, no, we've got to put you on a plane. It's an hour-long flight versus an 8-hour drive. Kyler kind of cuts it short getting to the airport. We've all done that.
Right.
Gets through security, but has a tough time getting through the security lines, and is 5 minutes from missing his flight. And you guys, of all the things, he misses his flight. His dad can tell he's getting more and more elevated. And over the course of several hours, as they rebook a flight for another, you know, try to catch another plane to Colorado, they can sense from text messages and contact that Kyler is getting more and more elevated. But what is so odd about this is that it's very visible. If you're walking by Kyler at the airport, he's like sitting crisscross applesauce. He's a 30-year-old man at the, you know, the moving walkway, and he seems to be in panic mode. And dad tells us that nobody seems to offer to help him. So let's pick up Judd Effinger's discussion with us at that point.
If 100,000 people saw him that day, Not one single person stopped to help him. You know, at one point, there's a video of him sitting Indian style on the moving walkway, and he's just, and everyone's just going to the side and avoiding him. But, you know, not violent. He didn't have a violent bone in his body. But just, you know, I just think he needed someone to put his arm, you know, their arm around him and say, hey, buddy, what's going on? Can I help you?
Wow, what a powerful excerpt. As you've learned about this, and as the parents clearly have spent so much time thinking about this, what advice do we have for those of us? I love that in the last few years, mental health and mental illnesses have taken a front row, because I think what we know is the more we talk about things, the more we demystify things, the better we are at supporting each other. What outcomes and what interventions did you discover while having this conversation?
Well, first of all, I think one of the immediate issues that Judd really highlights is that airports are extremely stressful places. And if you add bipolar disorder or other mental health conditions into that equation, and that's what they believe Kyler was going through, is a manic episode, panicked to go see grandpa before he dies, panicked because he's late for his flight, panicked because he struggles to get through TSA. Then he misses his flight. And so it's this perfect storm. And the surveillance video, which the airport eventually released to news organizations, you can see him running through the airport and trying to get out, you know, through the glass and through doors. And he finally breaches an emergency exit. And that's when he runs across the tarmac. And sadly, I mean, he ends up climbing into an engine compartment of a flight of a commercial airliner ready to take off.
And, oh, my gosh.
And that's how his life ends. And so if you back that up, Dad Judd says, can we start looking at getting mental health resources at places that are obviously very stressful places, airports? He says in the past he's had police departments who have been able to offer Kyler very compassionate intervention. There was a moment during another manic episode a couple of years earlier where the police department had sent over somebody who was trained at dealing with mental health episodes and got Kyler to unlock a door. What I did also learn from Kyler's dad is that Kyler's episodes were not, manic episodes were not constant. They were kind of few and far between, but when they happened in a big way. And in one episode, he ends up panicking and running down the street and laying in the middle of the road. So what does that become? That now becomes a police incident, and now police are involved, and Kyler gets taken to jail for a few days. And so now he's panicked and lost because he's locked up in jail. And in the times when he wasn't dealing with a manic episode, he would go into deep, deep depression. So Judd Effinger shares his entire experience, the first manic episode to the final moments at the airport with us. And he shares his advice for other families that might be going through this and making sure, for example, like Kyler did do lots of things to try to cope with it. He spent time seeking, you know, mental therapy in psych, you know, wards and departments that dealt with this. And he also went on medication, prescription medication. But then he decided he would feel more comfortable in the lane of medical marijuana. So he sought a medical marijuana card in Utah. And his dad said, we highly discourage that because of the interactions that can have with this type of disorder. So Kyler's 10-year battle with bipolar disorder really brings to light for this family so many lessons learned.
And
I'm just so grateful that they're willing to share this with
us. Exactly.
Because I know so many families are dealing with this. So this is Saturday at noon. Kyler has bipolar disorder on KSL News Radio.
Such a powerful story. Debbie Dujanovic, thanks for doing it. And again, you've just said this, but tune in Saturday at noon to hear the full story of Kyler and his family. Debbie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Mara. Thank you, Greg.
Next, Greg, Salt Lake City and Utah prone to earthquakes. So is Taiwan. Taiwan just saw the largest earthquake, most powerful earthquake in 25 years. Stay tuned with us. We'll dive into that when we come back.